Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As the people were in expectation, we begin Epiphany in the same way we began Advent, with the expectation and anticipation for the Christ. During Christmas, we celebrated the birth of Christ, Jesus, the Son of Mary, God with us. Through this season of Epiphany, we will highlight those biblical passages where Jesus reveals his power and glory. His wondrous deeds, saturated with a new creation, will cause report of him to spread throughout all Israel. And yet, while we understand the significance of these events because of the testimony of the apostles, it seems that even while the fame of Jesus was growing, he was largely misunderstood by his contemporaries. The advent and the epiphany of Jesus was generally received with confusion, disappointment, even offense, all centering on these questions: who is to be the Christ, the one to come, and more importantly, what has the Christ come to do? Now, the expectations of Israel's Messiah varied widely at this time, but certain aspects seem fairly common and are highlighted in our Gospels. So, inspired by the prophetic writings, the hopeful of Israel look for the one who would reverse their fortunes, one who would wield the sword of justice and recompense, one who would restore glory to the Davidic throne and put an end to Israel's enemies. And John, in some sense, seemed to fit the part. He was righteous and fearless, a bold prophetic figure who even stood up to kings. And so the people wondered in their hearts if he might be the one. But John himself points to one who is far greater, a mighty one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, John says, to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire. When we read about John's baptizing back in Advent, we concluded that season of expectation with a baby. A baby in backwater Bethlehem, placed in a manger, meek and mild. Hardly a picture of end-time judgment. And now we read of John's baptizing again, delivering the same message of the Mighty One with the judgment of fire. And now he shuffles on the scene, the last in line to be baptized. No fire, no fork, no axe at the root of the tree. If this is the Christ, then what has he come to do? No fire accompanying this epiphany, but instead a dove. A dove gently floating down from heaven to rest on Jesus. We are told by Luke that this was the Holy Spirit, but the people would have hardly understood this. There is simply no precedent for that sort of thing in Israel's history. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon the people in a great rush of power, or like a mighty wind, or perhaps like fire, as John preaches. But a dove landing on the head or shoulder? And then there is that voice from heaven. It's hard to say whether Luke meant that everyone heard it or just Jesus, as the words are addressed to Jesus alone. But even so, the words themselves are not so obviously clear as we have come to understand them on this side of Easter. There are echoes of Psalm 2, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," describing a king who will rule with a rod of iron and dash the nations to pieces. But the Son is also my beloved, so that one might hear the voice of God to Abraham in Genesis 22, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love." The story of ultimate sacrifice. And perhaps even the servant of the Lord from Isaiah 42 is indicated with, "In you I am well pleased." But unlike John's firebrand Messiah, the servant of Isaiah is gentle and compassionate. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. It is an intensely complex and confusing picture. And when Jesus begins to preach and to heal and to cast out demons, there is increased expectation and anticipation, but clarity does not come. Faith slips away for most. Disappointment settles in, even offense. Even John asks, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" What is he here to do? Is he here to challenge our authorities and traditions? Is he here to help the poor, to raise the social status of the low and the downtrodden? Is he here to teach us the law or to replace an old religion with a new one? And we could add to that list the many modern questions and variations of Jesus that are sought and expected, doubted or spurned. Would he help immigrants or build a wall? Would he expand welfare or lower taxes? Would he preach tolerance or call out sin? Would he reject organized religion or uphold religious institutions? Just what is it that Christ has come to do? But we don't have to wonder. Luke gives us the answer. He has come to be baptized. Now, when all the people that were baptized, all of them, then Jesus enters in. Jesus is baptized, and his entire ministry is about this baptism. And there is also fire, the fire of God's wrath, and it will burn. And it will divide wheat from chaff, but it will burn in the baptism of Golgotha. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Christ's baptism was his entrance into our place under God's judgment, into our unrighteousness, though he remains until the end the innocent one. His baptism in the Jordan plunged him into his baptism of the cross. And that fire of God's judgment of the sin of the world and of all people is quenched. And it is there that we meet him. There at the cross is where we meet him in our baptism. It is there that Christ was given in exchange for you, where Christ became your ransom. He was baptized into your death so that you might be baptized into his. He was baptized into your death so that he may raise you with him, with his resurrection. It is there at the cross, by your baptism into him, that you were redeemed. So that when you walk through the fire of God's wrath, you were not burned nor consumed by the flame. But that fire that would burn in judgment has now come to burn in our hearts as the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Would that the whole world burned with this fire. But you and I, we are not confused about who this Christ is. Our expectation about what he has come to do has not been disappointed. For we have the testimony of those who have seen his glory. We have received the riches of his grace and mercy, and we burn with the fire of his holy love, and there is an epiphany yet to come. And the people are in expectation, wondering in their hearts, who will save them? And what should we tell them? Listen carefully over the next weeks. Let our meditation on our Lord's epiphany inform our message. Attend to the Jesus of the gospel as he reveals not only his divinity, but the end of our humanity as we experience it. Mark how each miracle of the epiphany flows from this baptism of death and resurrection and leads to nothing less than the cosmic death and resurrection of all creation. This is the Christ, the beloved Son, and this is what he has come to do. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.